Praise God. How many of you are thankful for the grace of God in your life? As we were singing that, I began to just think of the grace of God in my life and how he picked me up one day as a 12-year-old little girl, and he turned my life around, and he set my feet on the rock, and he's kept me there day by day. It's not always been easy, but he's always been enough. He always gives me what I need to make it and to get through it. And I thank God today. I thank him for his grace today. Amen. Well, as my husband told you, it's not natural for me to ask to speak. But I did feel like I heard the voice of the Lord while we were on vacation speak to me that he had something for the church to hear. And anybody could have spoken. I don't know why he chose me. But it is something that I feel very passionate about. And so I do feel like the Lord would want to give the church some instruction today. We've been hearing a lot around here about kingdom authority. And today I want to title my message, Armor of Authority. As I said before, I believe he wants to give us some instruction. So if you have your Bibles, keep it close. I have some scriptures, but I'm going to be talking on the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul speaks to the church about its purpose. He speaks important truths, but he also gives practical instructions to fulfill the purpose that God intends for the church. Paul's writings, they're powerful, they're deep, they're very detailed, and they're foundational to the way we view Jesus, the church, ourselves, and the devil's defeated position. It's extremely important that we get an understanding of these things and that we apply them. We got to apply them. Knowing them is not enough. We must live them out in our lives day by day. And I don't have time today to go through all of the different practical instructions that Paul lays out for us for in the book of Ephesians. That might be a series for another time. But I do want to encourage you that maybe this week in your Bible reading every day that you might read the book of Ephesians. Read through it and see what Paul tells the church, the things that the church should be, that the church should be doing. And ask God as you read it to give you wisdom and understanding concerning those scriptures because it's for us, okay? And we might, I know I, as I read them, I thought to myself, wow, I don't really measure up to all of those things. So as you pray and as you read the scripture, ask God to show you where you maybe fall short in those things. During the time that Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus, we have to understand that spiritual warfare and spiritual armor were temporarily more important for practical reasons. The church of Ephesus had great spiritual knowledge and revelation, much like we do today. But spiritual knowledge alone is not enough. Many believers today live beneath how God has called us to live because we don't allow the knowledge of the word to become part of who we are. Yes, we may read the word every day. We may be even able to quote it. And we probably even use the word to encourage one another. But when it comes down to our personal lives, we struggle. We struggle applying that word to our own personal life to minister to us in that time of need that we're going through. It's easy for us to preach it, encourage others in conversation, and even counsel people with the word of God. Yet when we're the ones facing it, we find it hard to walk in the promises and the truths of the word of God. The word of God is what gives us the ability to walk in strength and in victory. If we're not finding that in the word of God and allowing the word of God to minister to us, therefore we find ourselves walking in defeat, in fear, and in doubt. The church of Ephesus was made up of people who were educated in the doctrine, great men and women of God. There was an abundance of excellence in ministry, spiritual insight and knowledge, much like the church today. However, they weren't walking a victorious life and an overcoming life. They were spiritual lopsided. They knew the doctrine and took time to study the scripture, but they failed to grow in their understanding of the spiritual armor and the spiritual conflict that they were facing. It's important to know and study the word, but we need to be able to take the knowledge and put it into action. We have got to get the word engrafted into our spirits. The word has to come alive within us. We have to have faith and trust in the word. Faith is simply taking God at his word and believing it. It's simple. It's simple. You read it, it's simple. Yet it's the hardest thing for us to do. We read clearly the promises of God that apply to our situation, but yet we have a hard time trusting that those promises are for us. Faith goes against our natural understanding. We communicate our situations, we complicate our situations, and we tie God's hands because we don't lay aside our fleshly thinking and reasoning. We get the fix-it mentality, and we put our hands in it, and we try to fix it ourselves. Or we go to others and want others to fix it for us. All the while, God's calling us to lean on his word and to find strength and victory through the power of his word. Amen, amen. We've got to take the knowledge of the word and turn it into the sword of the spirit in our lives. We need to grab hold of the faith that we read about in the scripture and turn it into the shield of faith in our lives. When we get an understanding of the power we possess through him, there is nothing, nothing that is able to get us down and defeat us. When we get bad news or a tough situation arises, we will be able to walk in faith because we know who is fighting for us. Amen? Amen. I believe God is calling the church to grab hold of his word like never before, to take him at his word. Pray it, speak it, proclaim it, and believe it. He is desiring us to suit up for battle and claim territories in our lives and in the lives of others. But in order for us to do this effectively, we ourselves have got to first make sure that we are properly suited for battle. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So if the enemy is out to kill us, to steal from us, and to destroy us, he's most likely going to try to do that catching us unaware, right? He's probably not going to just boldly come up in your face and try to kill you or steal from you or to destroy you. He's going to do it sly. He's going to try to trick you. He's going to lie to you. And it may not happen right then, but over time, that's his agenda. That's why we've got to be suited up and ready for battle at all times. When you think of a soldier in the army, he or she doesn't go out into the battlefield without being properly dressed or armed. Otherwise, they're probably going to die if they go to battle without their attire. And it's the same in our spiritual battles that we face every day. We must suit up and be attentive to our surroundings. It's not an option. It's not an option. The spirit world that is around us is more real than you and I looking at one another today. And the spirit world has an agenda to kill, steal, and destroy us. We have to be suited up. We have to be aware. We have to be ready at all times. Even when you're going through a situation, even when you have a trial, you still have to be suited up and know and understand that God is fighting for you even in the midst of your circumstance. Amen? Amen. Ephesians 10:18, if you want to turn there, tells us of the armor that God has given us to live a victorious and overcoming life. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching unto all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In verse 10, I want to point out the word finally. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And if you read the previous chapters, Paul is laying out before you all of the practical things that you should be doing and living as a Christian. And this is the last thing that he comes to, and he says, finally, brethren. Finally in Greek means in conclusion. The same phrase is used in other secular Greek manuscripts of the same period, and it's to talk about something that is so extremely important that it is held until the very end. Paul laid out the purpose of the church, practical ways to fulfill that purpose, and lastly, he's making us aware of the tools that the Lord has given us to walk confidently, boldly, and victorious every day through every situation. The first piece of armor that Paul instructs us to put on is the most important piece, I believe. It's the loin belt. The loin belt of truth is the written word of God. For a Roman soldier, it was its central piece of weaponry. When they weren't in combat, their shield that they carried and their sword that they carried rested on the loin belt. The loin belt was also needed to hold the breastplate together, especially in battle. If a soldier attempted to conduct warfare without a loin belt, he would have come undone in the midst of the battle. How much more must we keep the written word of God, the center focus, building everything in our lives around it? It is what gives us strength for our battles and the wisdom to effectively minister to others. If we willingly choose not to read and apply the word in our daily lives, you can mark it down. Your entire spiritual life is going to come apart at the seams. Probably not all at once, but slowly you will begin to find yourself in a spiritual downward spiral. God obviously felt it to be a very important piece as well. It's the only piece of armor that we can physically hold in our hands. It is what gives us the ability to place the shield of faith out in front of us and the sword of the Spirit in our hand. The second piece is the breastplate of righteousness. The Roman soldiers needed a breastplate that would completely protect them against all manner of assault. The breastplate needed to allow maximum mobility and durability. The breastplate had to be tightly woven together so that it would successfully hold up under the pressure of battle and the daily wear and tear. The breastplate protected the vital organs of the body, allowing the soldier to march forward in confidence, with no fear of being struck in one of those organs. The breastplate was the first piece of weaponry that people noticed. It was the shiniest, most beautiful, and most glamorous piece. The more that it was worn, the small scale-like pieces of metal rubbing together created more shine over time. Righteousness is a weapon. It is our breastplate. 2 Corinthians 6 and 7 says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness. Isaiah 59 and 7 says, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate. The more we go through life seeking after and walking in the righteousness of Christ, the more brightly we shine in this world. When we choose to wear our breastplate of righteousness, there is a confidence that comes when we pray. All throughout the Word of God, there are promises that those that are walking in righteousness, for those that are walking in righteousness, it's not our own righteousness that we're wearing. It's the righteousness of Christ. Amen? The next piece of armor is the shoes of peace. These shoes were not ordinary shoes. There were two parts to the shoes. It's the shoe itself and the greave. And the greave was what came from the knee down. It was a big piece of metal that protected the shin of the leg. The greave fit securely around the calf, causing the shoes to look like boots. They protected their legs from whatever type of terrain they had to fight in. The shoes were made of two pieces of metal, one on top and one on bottom. The sides were made of durable leather. On the bottom of these shoes had 1-inch long spikes that were extremely dangerous in battle to their enemy. Picturing these shoes and what they look like, I think it's easy to understand that peace is an awesome weapon. The peace of God is an awesome weapon, both defensive and offensively. Peace, if used right, will keep spiritual attacks where they belong, under our feet, and give us the strength to stand in whatever type of battle we face. Ephesians 6:15 says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The two words in that scripture, shod and preparation. Shod in the Greek means the binding of something very tightly. We must keep peace tied firmly in our lives, in our minds, in our emotions, and in our hearts. This will ensure us that when life hits us, we will stay firmly planted in the place that God intended for us because we're shod with the peace of God. The word preparation in the Greek means readiness. When used talking about Roman soldiers, it portrayed men of war with their shoes tied tight, giving them a firm footing, which gave them a peace that their shoes were going to stay in place in the midst of battle. Peace gives us a foundation, so secure that we can step out in confident faith without being shaken by what we see, what we feel emotionally, or what we hear. The peace of God will cause us to be able to look directly into the battle without fear and without intimidation. Peace fits hand in hand with our faith, which leads us to the next piece of armor, the shield of faith. The shield of faith was long and wide, much like a door that protected them entirely. Roman soldiers would oftentimes lock their shields together, forming an unconquerable unit. Their shield was made up of several layers of leather that required daily maintenance. It was the first thing that they reached for in the morning, along with a vial of oil that they would rub into the shield to keep it from hardening and cracking in the middle of a battle. Before battle, the soldier would dip their shield in water, saturating it. And keep in mind, it's probably already very heavy because it's the size of a door. And when you add water to that, it makes it probably 10 times more heavy. Even more of a reason to have your loin belt on so that you can rest it. With their shield saturated in water, this would extinguish the fiery arrows that came from the enemy. If we can take all of this and relay it to our spiritual armor, God has given us all enough faith to make sure that we are completely covered. When we walk in unison with one another, placing our shields together, we can make advances in the enemy's territory that might be difficult to do on our own. But we got to be linked together in unity. We can't have differences amongst ourselves. We've got to be linked together in one mind, in one accord, with one purpose. One purpose. Or if a brother and sister in the Lord are weak or wounded, in unity, we can take our shields and we can lift them and cover them so that they can become stronger in the midst of their battle. Amen? We must make it of utmost importance in our lives to carve out a time every day to saturate ourselves with a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Faith that is ignored nearly always breaks and falls to pieces during a battle with the enemy. We must keep our faith completely saturated with the washing of the word, as it states in Ephesians 5:26, when it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the word. If our shields are saturated in the word, we have power. We have power to extinguish all the flaming arrows that the enemy stated that he would send. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. When we keep our lives renewed in the Holy Ghost, saturated in the word, we can hold our shield of faith in front of us with confidence. We can learn to walk in strong faith. We can be assured that we will not be affected mentally, emotionally, or physically by the fiery darts of the enemy. Amen? If we hold that shield of faith out, it's going to quench those darts. And a lot of times we don't even know that those darts are coming because God gets them before they get there. And he turns those darts around oftentimes and send them right back where they came from. Amen? Praise God. The next piece of armor is the helmet of salvation. A Roman soldier's helmet was beautiful. It was ornate and intricate. In fact, it looked more like a piece of beautiful artwork than a helmet. It was made of metal, usually bronze, and extremely heavy. It was lined with sponge in order to soften the weight of the helmet, and it fit tightly around their heads to protect it. Their enemies usually carried a battle axe that was intended to take the heads off of their opponent. So if a Roman soldier entered into battle without its helmet, it was most likely going to lose his head. Once again, relaying those to our spiritual armor, our salvation is the most gorgeous, most intricate, most elaborate, and most ornate gift God has ever given us. We are noticed by all when we are walking confident in the salvation and the power of it. If we don't wear our salvation tightly around our mind, it leaves our mind exposed, allowing the enemy access to chop away at our spiritual foundation. In the morning, when I pray on the armor of God. It's not something that just exists there. You got to pick it up and put it on. And when I pray, I don't spend 30 minutes praying it. I simply pray, Lord, I place upon myself the loin belt of truth. I pray that your word will keep everything in my life together today, Lord. I pick up the shield of faith and I place it before me, Lord God. And I place it before me having faith that you will quench every fiery dart of the enemy that he sends my way. I shod my feet with the gospel of peace, Lord. I rest in the peace of God that you are with me every step that I take. Every step that I take, God, you are fighting for me, and I rest in that peace. I place upon myself the helmet of salvation, God. I pray that you will protect my mind. I pray that you will keep my thoughts, Lord, pure and holy and acceptable in your sights. I pray, oh God, that the mind of Christ would be upon me today, God, that it would be your mind and your wisdom, God, that fills my mind today, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, God, I place the sword of the Spirit before me as a testimony to the enemy of his defeated position. And you just pray those things on. You pick them up and you pray them with assurance, knowing that God is on your side. He is fighting for you. When we wear the helmet of salvation, we think differently. We begin to see through the eyes of God, and we view our circumstances with the mind of Christ. With our helmet of salvation tightly fitted around our heads, it comes natural to act and react with faith. Thank you, Lord, for the confidence we can possess through our salvation. Amen. Next is the sword of the Spirit. The Roman soldier's battle sword was a very sharp two-edged sword with a tip that turned upward, causing the point of the blade to be extremely sharp and deadly. This type of sword wounded far worse than any other type of sword. Before the soldier would withdraw their sword from the gut of their enemy, he would give it a twist. This sword was not only intended to kill, but to completely rip their enemy's insides to shreds. And I think we all get how that relates to our spiritual armor. The word in the Greek, rhema, something that is spoken clearly, spoken vividly, spoken in undeniable language, or spoken in unmistakable, unquestionable, certain, and definite terms. In the New Testament, the word rhema carries the idea of a quickened word, or scripture, or word from the Lord. So the loin belt is the written word of God. The sword of the Spirit that we hold is the rhema word, the quickened word of God that he puts in our spirit in the midst of battle. The Lord drops the scripture into our minds at the right time to give us power or direction that we need in that moment. At these moments, we know that we have heard from God, no doubt about it. This is the sword of the Spirit at work in our lives, the living word of God at work in our lives. And last but not least, oftentimes you don't hear anybody speak of this part of a Roman soldier's weaponry, but the Roman soldiers would use a lance in battle. A lance that they used and called it a pilum. A pilum lance was used when an opposing force came to attack the Roman encampment. Instead of waiting for the enemy to come upon them and intimidate the fight, the Romans would hurl this lance through the air toward the enemy. By doing this, they could strike the enemy soldier to the ground before they were able to penetrate the Roman encampment. Ephesians 6 and 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And I would like to relate it to our prayers. The lance is our prayers that we pray that keeps the enemy at bay. When we're led in the Spirit in our prayers, we're sending lances at the enemy that keeps him out of our encampment, that keeps him out of our home, that keeps him out of our heart, that keeps him out of our mind, that keeps him out of our circumstances. But we got to be willing to pray. We got to be willing to pray every day, and not just pray, but we got to be willing to allow the Spirit to lead us when we pray. Amen? When we operate in the power of prayer, we are thrusting forward in the spirit realm against the enemy's works, exercising the power or authority God has given to us to stop major obstacles from developing in our lives or others. And I pray today that we all have a greater understanding of the power that rests on praying the armor of God on in our life. When we pray the armor of God on our life, we can stand tall. A soldier doesn't go into battle all hunkered over, all down and out, like maybe I'm going to win this battle today, maybe I'm not, I don't know. But the soldier stands tall, squares back his shoulders, and he moves forward in battle in confidence, knowing that he has been given every piece that he needs to win that battle, to walk victorious. So we, the church, we've got to stand tall. No matter what we're going through, no matter how hard your situation may seem, no matter if you don't have everything you need right now, you have enough. God's given you enough. He gives you strength for the day. He gives you faith through the word of God. He gives you the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of your salvation. Hallelujah. He has given us every tool, every piece that we need to stand tall and to walk victorious, to push forward, to move forward, to push the enemy back. Amen. We can push him back out of our life, out of our circumstance. We can take dominion and authority over our minds, over our thoughts. We don't have to allow our emotions to control us any longer. We don't have to allow our circumstances to get us down, that when we come into the house of God, we come in with our head down. Woe is me, Lord, I need you today. But yet we can lift our head high and we can say, Lord God Almighty, you are in control. control. Hallelujah. God, you see where I'm at. You know what I need, God. You know what I need more than I know what I need, God. And I believe today, Lord, that you're going to give me everything that I need. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. God didn't just put us in this world and say, go be my church. Go do what you can do here on earth. No, he's with us. He's with us every morning that we wake. He's with us every step that we take. That's why it's so important that we get in the presence of God every day, that we talk with him, that we commune with him, that we get in his word, and that we don't just read it to say, I read the word today, but we say, God, what do you want to speak into my spirit? What do you want to give me today, Lord, to encourage me, God? What do you want to speak to me today? How do you want to teach me today, God? Where am I weak, God? What do I need to change? This is what we need. We need this every day. We got to get up every morning. We got to pray. We got to read the word. This is how we fight. This is how we're going to make it. The last days are evil. The enemy is out to kill us. He's out to destroy us. But we have the power. There is nothing greater than the power of God. Everything has to bow at his name. And when we take on Christ in our life, when we walk in the authority that God has given to us, when we claim it in our lives, we can walk victorious. We can walk victorious. There is nothing that will come against the church, that will come against you personally, that will get you down. If you allow the word of God to be your strength, if you allow your relationship with the Lord to be your strength, and you take on the armor of God, and you stand tall, and you say, God, I'm your soldier. I'm ready for battle today, oh God. Help me to be aware of everything around me today. Lord, as I go through my life today, oh God, help me to be spiritually sensitive, Lord, to the things that are around me, oh God. Help me to discern the spirits, oh Lord, and help me to pray accordingly, oh God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. I know it's a little early, and purposely I wanted it to be early because I want everybody to stand. And we're going to pray on the armor of God this morning. You may have already done it, but if you haven't, as a church, unified today, we're going to pray on the armor. God has a purpose for today. He has a purpose for the church today. He has a purpose for everybody in this service today. The enemy's aware. He knows. He don't like it. But we have the power. We can walk in victory and overcoming power. Amen. So as a church, we're going to be unified in spirit and in mind, and we're going to pray on the armor of God in our lives. And as we enter into the next service, we're going to be a mighty army, united with our shields, linked with one another, going into battle. God, whatever you want for this service, whatever you have for this day, God, we're ready. We're attentive, Lord God. We're ready. No matter what we're going through, no matter what I came in this place today with, God, I'm ready. You've called me to be the church. I'm your extension, God. I'm your hands. I'm your feet, Lord God. I'm ready today, God, whatever you would want. So I want us to lift our hands this morning in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.